Hello.
Hey,
hi,
Rob.
Hey, how are you?
Good, good. How are you?
Good. We were on the phone. We were way on hold for like 10 minutes, and then it disconnected us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No problem.
Okay, so we're all set. Good. Okay, so we've got the connection. We've got everything. Okay, good. All right, so how was your week, and what's on your mind?
Yeah, so actually we both Patty and I have been reading through the multiplier. Actually, it's really good. I'm like, based on my Kindle, I'm 62% done with it. So,
great.
A lot of information there, that's for sure.
He's ahead of me. I've only kind of just gotten started into it, so I need to be a little more diligent, much more diligent, and knock it out. And so I will. I promise to do that.
Well, good. Well, thank you. You're some of the first that I've actually gotten some feedback. I mean, people have said, you know, I like the book and all that, but
yeah.
not any students. So this is great. Thank you.
I like it because it's very easy to read and it's so practical to what we're doing. You know, it's like, sometimes you read stuff that's like totally foreign. It has nothing to do with our business, but this is like dead right on.
Well, it's everything that I've taught in the last 12 years and the last 20 years. So it should have everything in it without any, I didn't pull any punches or hold back anything.
Yeah.
Tried to put down every single step that I teach you guys to take. The idea and what I'm getting to is that what I'd like is to, once I get the audio version done, to have people listen to it, you know, a couple times every time, you know, on the way to and from work, and then, you know, drill the language and the actual verbiage into their head so that they can talk the language of supernova. Because what happens is if you don't really own it, you're not going to use it. And you can try it unless you really, you know, I get you to really go out and try something immediately after we've discussed it. It's one of those things. It's just, you just don't own it yet. Getting somebody to own it as their idea takes a long time. It's hard work. So what actions do you want to take based on what you listened to? I mean, what resonated with you to the point of saying, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. I think I'll do that.
Well, you know, other than the book, I do have something that I did want to address.
Sure, go ahead.
You know, because we're new, like, we just moved over in September, you know, to Raymond James from
yep.
Oregon. So, you know, I don't want to say we're still in transition, but we are a little bit still, you know, in that mode. And,
yep.
you know, just based on, you know, I don't know if you've worked with anybody, you know, as they've transferred over.
Oh, sure. Yep. I have.
So just to give you some, you know, like, up, you know, like I felt like we were running pretty well with, you know, with Supernova before, you know, because we just had it cranked up. And, the most important thing for us is that we were, you know, making a lot of calls and visiting clients. And, you know, like, so we were really gaining momentum that way. And
yeah.
we were at combined, we were like 172 million in assets. And we were our production, we peaked out at like $1,313,000. You know, we had a couple big, you know, like an insurance policy, and also you know, some assets that we knew weren't going to stay there. So we knew that was kind of like an unrealistic number, the 1.313.
Mm-hmm.
We felt that it was more like $1,200,000, you know, combined.
Yep.
And so you know, just as of recently, like I would say after about 3 months on our, you know, when we transferred over, we were at about 100 million, I guess. So we were pretty far short, you know, of bringing over assets. As of today, I would say, because they're still trickling in now, but now we're back, we're up to like a million, I mean, 126 million. So,
okay, great.
We're getting, we're like between that 75-80% of assets that have come over. But because of that, we're also, I think we're even tracking lower on revenue, you know, based on those numbers. So, so we're probably like 70% of where we were, you know, previously. So, so, we just got this, you know, Supernova up and running. We're making our calls, you know, and it, you know, we're doing that, but we also have to be like really, you know, really cognitive of, you know, where we stand and how we're going to get our production up as well, you know. And I don't know if that's a, like a universal problem, you know, when people move or, you know, if it's just us that are, you know, finding that out.
Well, I'm curious in terms of, you must have been pretty much fee-based services over there. And if you've got 126 million, you know, at 1%, that'd be 1.2. What is there a bigger gap, do you think, between the number of fee-based accounts you had over there and the ones that you're bringing in?
You know, not really, because, you know, of the, so when we were over there, we were predominantly fee-based, like 75 to 80% fee-based.
Yep.
You know, doing $1.3 million, which is a, in reality like $1.2 million on the 172 million. So, you know, we were like 70, 75%. So that kind of make, that equates, I think, pretty close, you know.
Okay.
So, but
so
we
where
do,
are you, where are you now? Are you about, about 800,000 or 900,000 production, or what do you think?
It's funny because Raymond James does it on not a calendar basis. So, and of course they started their first, the beginning of their year, when we were right in the middle of bringing accounts over and, of course, not producing anything.
We're probably, if I had to guess, we're probably between, let me see. We're probably about 900.
Yeah, that's what I, based on what you said, that sounds like it's,
yeah.
You know, but that's not bad. I mean,
not
that's
bad,
not,
but you know,
no.
You know, one of the natural things that happened, I don't think we did a good job of like culling clients, you know, because we had like a lot of clients when we first met you. But, you know, like this was like kind of a natural process of taking out
in the book
a lot of under $500,000 accounts that really surprised us, believe it or not, because, you know, if let's say it was a $500,000 account paying us like, you know, 1.2%, right? So, you know, that's kind of borderline whether we should keep it anyway. And a lot of those didn't come.
Right.
So,
we didn't exactly go, you know, all in after them either.
No, we didn't.
And the brokerage account.
No, I went after them. I went after them, and some of them I probably shouldn't have went after them, but I think the Supernova clients came over. But if somebody was like a $500,000, you know, 500.
A bummer.
Yeah. Well, not even a bummer, like a $500,000, like we would just put it in managed money and just kind of leave it alone and just collect fees off of it. They didn't necessarily come.
Yeah.
I guess
well,
they didn't show our value.
I think that you've just answered your question.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. So, you know, that, it, I mean, I think that's really an interesting, I mean, an interesting reflection, isn't it, in terms of saying to yourself, I'm going to keep them, I should give them Supernova service. If I'm not going to keep them, then I, you know, then we give them away. But if I keep them, everybody gets Supernova service, then I know that if something would happen, they'll be loyal. It's a good story. It's an interesting story, and I think it's not unusual, right? I mean, think about it, right? So you brought, in reality, my guess is you brought the clients that you're doing Supernova with, and you brought the clients that you really want to keep. So it's okay. But now you need to grow.
Yeah, and honestly, like when we look at our total, like when we would look before, we would see like 240 households, let's say, right? That's after we culled it down. And now I'm looking at it and we're at like 120, maybe 125 max.
So in reality, I mean, this is the actual, the best way you could purge your practice and get down to a core.
Right.
I mean, assuming that you can bring in, let's say, 25 good clients that look like the top 20% of your practice, you'll have a better business.
Right.
Okay, so you've really done, sort of voluntarily done segmentation to the point where you really have the kind of the number of clients that you know, we all dream about. We'd like to have about 60 to 70 clients each. And, you know, if you get up to, if you add 25 more total clients, you'd be at 75 each, which would be perfect. You know, you don't want any more. You're going to want to start segmenting again at that. So is that kind of your, I mean, is that the way you're thinking, or is it something else?
I have no idea how I'm thinking.
No, I agree. And even, for instance, been working with the Center of Influence, and he sent over, you know, a person, and I just, you know, I know a couple of things I'm doing for this Center of Influence, trying to really cultivate him. And this client just wasn't, you know, she didn't hit any of our minimums. And but because I've already met with her and because I introduced the Supernova old theory, when they do come into this money, then they're going to come back, but they don't hit our minimum. So, you know, now I've got this angst of what do I do to try to support my COI. You know, I kind of have to educate my COI to get a little better as to what my minimums are instead of them just sending me everybody and anything.
Right. Now, this sounds crazy. It sounds harsh, but you really need to have another person that you can reassign clients to before they ever become your clients, meaning the Center of Influence sends you somebody that doesn't meet your minimum. You want to take care of that COI, but you don't want to take the client. So
yeah,
you have to have some
point. Actually, before you even said it, because we're at a very small office in West Palm Beach, we came out of a big office, and this is like really tiny. There's only like 10 advisors in the whole office, but there is a team that I think would be open to taking those type of clients. You know, like Brian. I just think they would be perfect, you know, and I think they would be really open to receiving these guys.
I didn't think about that. That's a good point. So that was the first time I've ever had that kind of a thing happen. But otherwise, you know, trying to be more open to talking to centers of influence and, you know, exactly how we want to build, you know, build from here and where do we see that natural build come from.
Yeah, this is really an important time because, you know, just based on the anxiety I hear, it would be a time where you could fall into the trap of taking clients that don't meet your minimums. And
we struggle with that. We struggle with it all the time. I mean, and I'm sure a lot of advisors do, you know. They don't trust they just don't trust the process 100%. And I know we definitely do not.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be surprised. It's just a confidence thing, Sam. And I would say that you know, you'll get there. And you really want to practice getting there as best you can, because the teams that I see that are the happiest are the ones, and I won't say the most successful because, you know, who knows who's the most, what's really success, right? But the ones that seem to be the happiest are the ones that really stick with their minimums and make it clear to their centers of influence who it is that they really are a good fit for. So to me, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to hold your head up, walk around a little prouder, and really stick with your minimums. And just simply, you know, that's it can be part of why you move.
Yeah, and
you know,
I'll throw something else out. I don't want to speak for Patty, but you know, for myself, like, I don't have any debt. So you know what? If I don't make as much as I did over at Morgan, I'm totally fine. And, you know, Patty's independently wealthy. So.
No, I have a husband who's independently
So, but I mean, I we don't have the pressure that certain teams would have. I've met a lot of guys in this business, and they're living way above their means. And
right.
You know, it just becomes – then you're taking everything. And so that's why it's important to have you in this whole equation, because – you know, you're going to keep us on the straight and narrow, because in reality, a year, 2 years, 3 years from now, I don't want to have 300 or 400 clients. I just want to have the minimum and really have a great practice.
Right.
One thing I will say about not only there's this move to Raymond James, but it kind of almost like in the supernova process, as we keep going with this and we're trying to stick, you know, our nose to the grindstone and stay with it, it's almost like an illumination sort of a process as you kind of come around a corner and it's like, oh, yeah, that's right. And that's how, you know, and so it's kind of the more we do it, the more I can believe it, the more I can trust it. I'm just not all there yet.
Now, can I interject one more thing in this whole equation?
Yep.
Okay, so our assistant Thomas is on the call with us, right? I'd
yep.
like to, like, just throw it over to him and – hear his opinion on this whole thing, you know, like where we stand, what his, you know, because he's talking about somebody that has a pulse on us.
Well,
I mean, there's nobody closer than that. So,
yeah, so I guess being that Supernova is still relatively new to me, and in the sense of, you know, I haven't even cracked the book or anything like that, but I am excited. There's a lot of prospects that we have, I say live, at like maybe half a dozen, that are very exciting, and to me they're intriguing, just in the longevity of the practice of Patty and Sam, because they're clients that, for example, we have one by the name of Aaron Getty, who is a very young individual who's kind of hit the jackpot, kind of, I think, when it comes to his career, and, you know, these can be phenomenal clients in a year to 2 years, 10 years from now. I mean, it could be a $10 million household, in my opinion, but you know, when it comes to stuff like that, I think there's still a little bit of fat to be trimmed in certain aspects of our book. I think there's a couple clients who don't have an immense amount of assets with us, and I don't believe they hit the minimums. But yeah, I think that just morally and ethically speaking, that, you know, Patty and Sam are just good individuals that want to help. But I think there are still a few that are out there. I don't want to say lingering, but nonetheless, they're still on our side of things. I think you spoke perfectly on the fact that a transition is Supernova at its finest, that clients that you have implemented the Supernova practice are going to be the ones that have come and are going to stay and are going to give you COIs and going to give you prospects and things of that nature. Now going back to, I guess, a few other points, this entire thing is really just kind of taking full. I think the past month we've gotten all the folders out and clients have kind of started to begin to actually I guess, follow it routinely as we try to do ourselves. I guess there's still a lot to learn on my end on exactly the psychological standpoint on Supernova, not necessarily just the foundation of it, but I'm excited. I think there's a lot of things to look forward to.
But how do you think you feel when you view us, like, holding the minimums and the type of clients we're looking for and what we're doing, how we're...
I think, you know, when it comes to clientele, I think that we want clients who trust us, clients who aren't going to be picking up the phone when the market takes a 2% dip and are going to, you know, be on, just kind of, I don't know. I just think that we want clients who we have earned trust with, and obviously you can't earn trust just overnight. You have to earn it over time, but I think minimums are a huge thing, and not necessarily if the client only, let's say our minimum $1 million, and a client has $500,000, but yet they have a great job, they have an opportunity to maybe have some inheritance in the next decade or even half a decade, and I think there's a lot of variables that go into, and correct me if I'm wrong, and I'm just kind of running with my own opinion, but I think it really has to be taken by an individual presence instead of just kind of putting everybody under the same umbrella.
It's you know, we used, Thomas, 11 different screens to determine whether or not a person meets our minimums. And George Kemp made every single person get through those screens before he would take them.
Okay.
And it was fairly extreme. I mean, you went from 650 clients down to 33 clients.
Ooh.
But what he found was that he, by having only 33 clients, it gave him the one thing that was most valuable to him in the world, and that was time. So he had time for his clients, and he had time to prospect. And every time you put a client in, it sucks up it probably sucks up 10 hours of your life. And so when you do that, you got to think very carefully. And if you do a financial plan, you're really talking about 20 to 30 hours. So anybody that you bring into the practice, and with our mantra is every client begins with a financial plan. And as you know, a financial plan is a never-ending process. So once they do a financial plan, we're always updating it. So in order to bring a client in, it's a big commitment on our part to service them and to make sure that they're happy. So they get 12-4-2, rapid response to their problems, a financial plan, multi-generational planning, taking care of their kids, et cetera. So it's a two-way street. They need to pay us in order to do that. So if you were a concierge doctor and you had space for 100 patients and your fee was $5,000, if somebody came along and said, I'd like to be one of your patients, but I can only pay you $2,000, what do you think the doctor would say?
No thanks. Here's a referral.
Yeah, he'd say, thank you very much. Come back when you have $5,000.
Yeah.
Okay, and so that's the way I want you to think, that if your minimum fee is 1% on $1 million and your absolute minimum fee is $10,000, then come back when you have $10,000. I love you. And you don't want to overcharge people, you know, so you want it to be a fair fee. Otherwise, you give them to somebody else, and when they get their inheritance, they come to you. Now, will they come? Who knows? But that's your fee. And so, to me, that keeps your practice pure, and you don't waste your time prospecting for everybody. You concentrate. You fish in here in on the west. You know, I'm sure it's on the east coast. It's a lot. You can get to deep water quicker. But on the West Coast, here where I am, if I'm going to catch really big fish, I have to go out, you know, 40 or 50 miles into the Gulf. But when I get there, I'm going to catch really big fish. The same thing. It may be more difficult, and you have to sift through more people, but you're fishing for really big fish. So you're not, therefore, you're not trying to get your minimum. You're trying to get your target minimum.
Got it.
So if your absolute minimum is $1 million or $10,000, you're going after clients that have $2.5 million to $3 million, and your target fee is $25,000 to $30,000. So every day when you get up, you go out 40 to 50 miles in the Gulf. You don't go out 2 miles and hope to get a really big fish, because you know what you're going to get when you're out 7 to 8 miles. You're going to get minnows. You're going to get small fish. Okay, so you just don't fish there. You see the difference in it? It's just a mindset.
Absolutely.
I had a client that had had a minimum of $10 million, and she was very successful. She was on the Gulf Coast and was worked with oil companies. And when I got her, she was 65 and wanted to have some balance in her life. She had way too many clients. She had a whole team working for her. So I think she had more than 1,000 clients. And so we raised her minimum to 15 million, then to 20 million, then to 25 million. And I talked to her later. She spoke at a meeting that I held. She gave a testimonial in front of her peers. And her minimum was 25 million, and she still, she had cut her practice way down. She had less than 100 clients for her, she handled about 60 clients. She said, "Rob, I still have a problem." I said, "What?" She said, "I'm still getting too many introductions that meet my $25 million minimum." You see, the point was that people knew who she was and what her clientele was. And so CEOs would refer other CEOs, people with, $50 million would refer, because that's who the person was. That's her job, was to work with people with $50 or $100 million, $200 million. Her job was not to take $1 million clients. So it's all in your mindset and how you position yourself in the market as to who you are and what you want to accomplish. The people are there. The fish are there. You just have to go and find them. They're not going to be in the same place that you've always fished. They're in different places now. They're on boards of directors. You'll meet people on boards of directors that you just wouldn't be able to meet otherwise. They're on the best charities in the community. And you can't just have centers of influence. You have to have centers of influence that work with people that meet your target minimum, because they're just like you are. They have a clientele, and they get referred by other people in that same clientele. And so if they work with people with more than 10 million, then they get referred people with more than 10 million, and they can only have so many clients, same as you.
So it's building a reputation of being a team that has that kind of that value and that hierarchy, as the saying, $1 million is our rock bottom minimum, and stick to it.
Right.
Build that reputation.
So you tell your centers of influence that your minimums are your target minimum. So at this point, you take your revenues and divide it by your number of clients. That gives you your average right? That becomes your absolute minimum, and then the top 20% of your practice is your target. So my guess is you're still close to that $2.5 or $3 million target minimum. So Patty, the idea is you tell your centers of influence your minimum is $3 million, and then when they refer somebody, they apologize and say this person only has $1.5 million. Will you take them? And you say, for you, yes. But you don't take somebody with $500,000. Unless they're the CEO of a company and, you know, they're in. I like to use 12 to 24 months as my criteria for making an exception. If they can get to my target minimum in 12 to 24 months, then I'll make an exception, but not to my absolute minimum.
I like it. That's what we should be doing. So
you know, I had this is amazing stuff, but it's all psychological. I had a guy that was doing very well, has a really good team, but hasn't really adopted the Supernova marketing and you know, my seven strategies. He hasn't really adopted those. And wanted to grow and had a good high minimum and, you know, was a wonderful team, did Supernova now, and we were at this kind of stage, you know, month six, month seven, you know, of the future. And I said, so what's your strategy going into 2019 for marketing your team? He said, oh, we've already organized. We're gonna have six seminars. And I go, okay. and the point was, he was still marketing himself the same way as when he started in the business. So what's he going to get? He's going to get the same clientele he got, you know, and out of the six seminars, he'll probably get two people, maybe one, that will meet his target minimum, yet he's putting all his time and energy into these seminars to generate $250,000 to $500,000 clients. So it's, you want to match up your marketing strategy with your target minimums. And are these the people that come to seminar? Okay.
No, they're not. Because we can't get our top clients to go to seminars or to go to things like that.
Right. So where do wealthy people, how do they find a new financial advisor?
A referral from either a friend or somebody who have respect, like their attorney or somebody?
That's exactly right. They don't walk in, they don't go to seminars, they ask their friends, and they ask their CPA, their attorney, their someone else that they respect in their world. So how do we then garner new clients? Well, we find people that are influential. They don't have to be CPAs and attorneys. They're just influential people. We get them as clients, and then they become centers of influence for us. So it's not complicated, but it takes as much work as running those six seminars. But the advantage that you'll have is that once you have these, a mastermind group or six centers of influence set up that you meet with monthly, you will have it built, and you don't have to rebuild it. You don't have to start over. Every one of these building blocks in these seven strategies creates a more permanent marketing initiative that you can have year after year after year. But they take work to establish. So they build on the work that you do each month and each year. So 3, 4, 5 years from now, we'll have a conversation and you'll say, I put in the work, we're getting the results. But people will not, the reality is people will not put in the work because they don't get the immediate results. And so they just don't, it's like Supernova. It's too much work for them. They don't see that it has that dramatic, makes that dramatic a difference. Well, you guys could stand up and give a testimonial in multiple ways how Supernova, the service model, has helped you, brought in the clients that you wanted to move, you know, allows you to charge a reasonable fee and justify it, and hopefully encourages those people to give you introductions that are valuable to you. So in reflecting on it, the two most important parts of your practice are the top 20% of your practice that give you 80% of your revenues. Not only do they give you your revenues, but they should be the ones capable of giving you the best introductions. All right. And then the second is centers of influence that like you and trust you and have given you introductions over the years. So that's what's already built into your practice, all the work you've done over the years. And if you don't have many of those, then we just have to work and build them. There's no easy shortcut, simple way to do it. I'd tell you to cold call, but, you know, I'd probably have less results getting you to do that than I could anything else, you know.
Yeah, we need to work smart.
I would do it if it worked.
Yeah, we have to work smart. And I don't know that cold calling is all that smart these days. Might have been when I started many years ago, but not now. But you're right. So do the work now. Instead of cold calling, work, do the work as to the finding those centers of influence and grooming them and meeting with them once a month and actually setting it up and doing it, just like the Supernova calendar. I've got to call Susie Q today at 11, and I call Susie Q today at 11, and then you do the work.
Right. And, you know, think of the center of influence. Make sure your centers of influence are people that you'd like to go fishing with, okay? They're people you like. You know, they're fun. You look forward to having lunch with them once a month. It shouldn't be torture. You know, if you like if you have a hobby, you want to go fishing, go fishing. If you like to play golf, play golf, play tennis, whatever. Have fun with them. You know, take them to a ball game, do something. Have them over for a barbecue, have them over for dinner. They should be people you like and that you would enjoy spending the rest of your life with them. This does not have to be awful. People say, what do I talk to them about once a month? I said, what do you talk to any friend about once a month? You know, you can you can talk business, you can talk about their family, you can talk about their hobbies, you can plan the new initiative that you're going to do together to bring in business for both of you. I mean, it's a fun part of our job, and we don't. They're in exactly the same position you are. They want more business.
Right.
They don't take the time to market. And so by you running the show, by you telling them, we're going to set up an appointment. Thomas is going to call you every month. We're going to meet at the same place, the same time every month. That's easy. We'll have lunch once a month and talk, or we'll have coffee. You know, we'll do a Starbucks. If you like breakfast, do breakfast. If you know, whatever works with your schedule and allows you to have some balance. But the point is that you're not going to want to do this. But when you're done with the lunch or done with the breakfast or done with the coffee, you're going to get something out of it. And remember, our goal is to give them an introduction. So how do we get more introductions? By giving more introductions. So think of it as you're going fishing, you're bringing bait with you. And the bait is an introduction. If you go fishing without any bait, what are your chances of catching any? Not so good.
Okay.
What do you think? Okay, I'm going fishing with my center of influence in a week. Do I have an introduction for him? No, I'm going fishing without any bait. So I better ask the question to my clients in the next 2 weeks, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? And when they say, no, I hate him, I want a new one, you say, hey, I may just, you know, would you be open to an introduction to someone that is enthusiastically endorsed? And they go, yes, I would. And then you know, you can go as far as to bring him with you or her with you. What better way, right, to make them happy?
Do for them what you're asking them to do for you.
Right. So, you know, the law of reciprocity says that if a person is a good person, they're going to be very uncomfortable in a one-way street. They do not like that. I mean, invite a couple over for dinner and find out how quickly they invite you back. It'll be really fast. Throw a party at your house and watch how many invitations you get to other people's parties. It's the rule of reciprocity. It works, and it's almost instantaneous. Now, with some people, you know, it's like, you know, I had one guy trying to form a partnership, and he didn't do it. I said, you know, finding a partner like you two guys have, partnership, is very difficult. So don't be discouraged because you go through a few centers of influence before you get to a good partner.
Right.
Okay. Be patient with the process. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, meaning don't quit looking for a center of influence because you had a bad experience with two.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Good stuff, right? As we talked about last week or month, centers of influence is something that needs to be organized, focused, to be scheduled, should be something that we actually work at, you know, reciprocity.
Right. Now, keep in mind, remember we talked about, I don't know if we did because I can't keep a track of what I say when I say it all the time, but remember we talked about the idea of for each center of influence, I mean, each profession, you want to have three different names. So when somebody says, yes, I'm very interested in a new CPA, you go, okay, my firm requires that I give you three different names. I know it sounds like a lot of work, but I would recommend you interview each one of them. Then they'll go, well, who do you most enthusiastic, you know, who do you like the most? And you go, well, the one that gets the most enthusiastic endorsements is this one, but I still would like you to interview the other two or at least make a phone call from them. Because I just want to make sure this is a good fit for you.
Well, then you're fulfilling that give to that COI, even if the client doesn't pick them, at least, you know.
Bingo.
COI knows that you gave their name out and they spoke to somebody and it was up to that client to pick them and they didn't. But that doesn't mean that the COI doesn't feel like we're working together.
Right. So here's my recommendation to keep three on the, you know, you want to be fishing with three different partners, but you can't afford to spend that much time, you know, away from the office. So you want to, here's what I suggest doing. Think of it as one of them is up to bat, one is on deck, and one is in the bullpen. So the one that is up to bat is you basically give them 12-4-2. The one that's on deck, you give him a 4-1, like a butler. And the one in the dugout, twice a year. So it's monthly, quarterly, semi-annually. But it's enough to keep them knowing that you want to do business with them. And you're referring to them on a regular basis, even if you're not meeting with them. Then when one retires, you know, he goes from on deck to up at bat. And then you bring in a new one. Put him in the bullpen. I mean, put him in the dugout. So you're constantly, with all the professions, having three that you're nurturing.
Makes sense.
Yeah, so you have six centers of influence that you're working with on a monthly basis, but you've got 18 that are being kind of circulated through. So think about the opportunity when you have that many that you're touching. That's a big business. That's a job. That's a marketing effort. That's a major marketing effort.
On your sheet, you've got an EE, an E, and an NE, and that's what you're saying, at bat, on deck, in the dugout.
Well, yeah, that's what I would use exactly in that.
Okay.
Okay. Now, one of the other things to do in using that, you've got a referral sheet in your mini-me folder. A lot of people don't bother putting it in. They think, oh, that's being too pushy and so forth. No. Put that sheet, introductions given, introductions received, in your folder and in the client's folder. Because you want the client to know that you're open for business. So when you get an introduction from a client, you write it into your the sheet, introductions given and received, and you put the date that they opened the account. I'd put two dates, the date they give you the introduction, then the date they opened the account. One important reason, they may have given you an introduction, but you don't have the account opened yet. So it's a great way of keeping track that, yeah, you gave me an introduction a year ago, but it just didn't work out. Or, you know, I can't seem to get to this guy. So anyway, when you talk to the client again, you can you can keep track of it and follow up and make sure that you get the can move it down the path. Anyway, on the date that they open the account, you want to call the client and thank them for their business, and you want to call the person that introduced you and thank them for the introduction. That could reasonably, I'd say there's a 20% chance that when you make that call and thank them for the business, they'll say, oh, I've got another guy for you. So it's just a best practice. It's no guarantee, but it's a wonderful thing to do. They'll not expect it, and guess what? They know you're open for business. And you can always say, you know, without going into, you know, the whole VIPSA thing, you can always say, hey, thanks again for introducing us. Please don't keep us a secret. As you know, we're taking on a few new families each year, particularly this year, and we're excited to help you in any way we can with a family that you're interested in helping. And they'd be like, yeah, great. I'll keep it in mind. So you're constantly dripping on the people that are, you know, want to help you. So I apologize for the delay in getting together. I'm not quite sure what happened, but
no problem.
We managed it. I think we had a good call, and
yep.
You know, as soon as we get the book out on tape, I think that would be a good thing to listen to it on the way to work, on the way home, just to get the words down. Because as you guys know, I mean, look, when I say it, it sounds easy. When I say it, I've got all the words right. When you say it, you know, if it's the first time you're saying it, it's harder. But if you hear me say it over and over on the book, then I think it gets easier. So,
I agree.
Okay, good. So my book, The Supernova Advisor, is out on tape. You know, you don't have to listen to the whole story, but in the back are I have the six strategies for acquiring new business. I don't have the detail that I have in the new book, but all those strategies are in there. So you can listen to that now.
Okay.
It'd probably be a good idea to do.
Yeah.
So particularly the chapters on acquisition.
Right.
Yeah, let us
okay.
know your new book is on tape, because I'm always listening to something in the car. I hardly ever have the radio on these days.
Well, that's great. Thanks. I appreciate it. And we'll have it. The other book, the Supernova Teams, is on audio also. And you probably haven't had a chance to listen to that. But that is very helpful in terms of anything associated with your team. If you're having any kind of issues, which we always are, you know, there's each chapter is designed to help you with that issue. So if, for example, I wrote a chapter on hiring, and I was I wasn't always the best at everything when it came to my job, but I was very good at hiring people. And so this is, you know, is a good example of something we don't cover in this coaching particularly, but could be very helpful to you because you are running you have a team. So that's there. So if you're looking for something to listen to, that also is a good audio book.
Well, I have a question changing subject here a quick second. Is if somebody actually wanted to be a coach like what you're doing and the rest of your teams are doing, how would they go about breaking into doing some of the things that you and your employees are already doing?
That's a really good question. It's interesting. Why do you ask?
Because I have someone that I think would be very good as a coach.
Interesting. I do some training. I'm training a mutual fund company right now. And I just spent 4 hours with them up in Sarasota. I'm having them do what you do, which is basically go through the program. I'm going to have them audit the program. I'm going to have them listen to my books on tape to absorb it, you know, every day, once a day for 5 days, each chapter. And then they listen, as I say, they listen to the call, and then we have a separate call after each week, and we go through, they listen to the video, watch the video, and then they I discuss with them what they learned that week about that chapter and any questions they have. So it's pretty intense. And they spend about a year doing that. And then I hire them and they coach and we go from there. But it's typically somebody that for this job, they have to have been a financial advisor or had that financial advisor experience in some way or another. The wholesalers are doing it in order to bring value. It's a company called Touchstone. I don't know if you use them or not, but actually they're going to be working very intensely with Raymond James.
Yeah, we know Touchstone. The gentleman that the wholesaler for our region is actually quite enthusiastic to work with. He's enjoyable. I like him. All right, because the person I'm thinking I think would be perfect for, they're the ones that actually got Sam and I into Supernova over at Morgan Stanley. It's because of him that we're working with you.
Oh, that's a riot. Well, if I can be of any help, please don't hesitate to introduce me. I'd love to, I'm always interested in helping anybody I can.
That'd be great. I will take you up on that. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Thanks very much, Ben. All right, Sam, thank you, and look forward to some more success and lots of good ideas. Thomas, nice to meet you, and thanks for your participation.
Of course, thank you for giving us everything you have.
Okay,
thanks.
Thanks, Rob.
We'll talk to you
tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.